Well, I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're with us this morning. This is a special morning because this is a morning where we give testimony and witness to what we believe in, which is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And how important it is. You know, it seems like every Easter, you know, there's always a struggle with what are we going to share with the people? What are we going to really say that makes Easter so such a special event, a wonderful memory to remember this year? And so I started listening to all the other preachers and what they got to say, and I figured I'd just go after the pattern of them. But I began to notice that most of the communication was in convincing people that Jesus rose from the dead. This morning, I want to present to you the purpose of resurrection and not just convince you that resurrection was a valid thing, because I think most of the people on planet Earth know by now that Jesus was a resurrected being. Amen. But there's not too much saying why resurrection is so powerful for those of us that are termed believers. Matter of fact, before I actually ended up in church, as living my life as what you would term a non-believer, I never really saw the importance of the position that I held with God until after I gave my heart and life to Him. Then the value of Jesus became more evident. But before that, it wasn't that. I had no fear of God. And a lot of people don't have a fear of God. And yet, you know that there's a reason why God had to appear in the form of the person of Jesus and to manifest Himself, because He had to declare openly who God was and where His heart is. Now, years ago, the church more or less had this condescending message all the time. But really, God appeared to do justice for mankind, for what mankind became a product of, and that was the fall through one man called Adam. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says, "The first man was made of the earth, made of dust. The second is the Lord from heaven. But so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. But the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." A lot of times people don't understand those verses and what they actually mean. But the first Adam was made to live forever. He was not destined for death. That's why He said He became a living soul. Death was not going to be a part of Him in God creating Him in the beginning. And so this verse says clearly that Adam was to live forever. And so we know by that God's purpose for Adam was never to taste death, but to live forever. But we see the term, but the second Adam became a life-giving spirit. Well, actually, in the Greek, it says a quickening spirit, one brought to life. And so we understand by these two meanings here that one was destined to live forever. But we know that Adam did not live forever. He fell. But the second Adam then had to come and die in order to be a life-giving spirit. So the second Adam was born into this world for the purpose of death. Not like the first Adam when he was born into this world to live forever. So we know that something had taken place. Something tragic began to happen. And with that said, if you brought your Bibles, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. And here it talks about the position that Lucifer once held with God. It was amazing how I was talking to one individual at one time, and he had this concept that he didn't want anything to do with God because God planned everything for it to happen the way that it did. And so I began to tell him where the enemy first struck. And he was shocked. He said, I didn't know that at one time Satan was a good angel. I said, oh, you didn't? He said, no, I didn't know that. He says, can you show me that in Scripture? And I says, I sure can. And so I showed it to him, Scripture, and I began to tell him about why Jesus had to come and be that life-giving spirit. He had to be the first to die. He wasn't like the first Adam to live forever. And so as I explained it out, he says, you know, that makes a whole lot more sense to me. I have a hard time conceiving how God would plan everything. You mean to tell me it's up to us to choose whether we want to live or die? And I says, you got that right, baby. It's up to us. He had a hard time getting a hold of it, but he liked it. But notice what he says about Satan before his fall. He says here, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. This is talking about Lucifer. The word Lucifer means light bringer or light bearer. He said, you were the seal of perfection. The word for seal here in the Hebrew means the pattern for which all angels will be taken off of. The pattern from which all angels will be taken off of. You were full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. So Eden existed before Adam. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardas, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your tables and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. You had authority of a priesthood. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Notice he was not made evil. He was made perfect. But we understand by Scripture that he perverted his wisdom. And he said, I will be like the Most High God, and I will sit my seat upon God's throne. And so that was from the devil sinning from the beginning, or in the Hebrew it says, or the Greek it says, the first rule. And so we know that there was a rule, a time period before Adam and Eve, that he was over. He was the anointed cherub that covered something. But God did not create him for him to fall. He perverted himself. The Bible says he's the author, the father of sin and transgression. And so as a result of that, he was what? He was kicked out of heaven. And he took a third of the angels with him. And Jesus said in his deity when he was walking there, he told his disciples, I saw Lucifer thrown out of heaven as a bolt of lightning. And we knew that that had to be in times eternal or eternity past. And so then he approached Adam. And Adam committed high treason. And he turned his authority. Adam turned his authority and rulership back over to the enemy. And now the enemy became the god of this world. Right. And then that's when salvation was planned. Before this society, this cosmos, this system. And so then it was enacted. And that's when Jesus was predestined. He was predestined to be a life-giving spirit. In order for him to be a life-giving spirit, he had to be the perfect sacrifice to die for all of mankind. Hallelujah. But thank God that he came. Thank God that he died for me. Because I know what his death did for my arch enemy, Satan. It was his demise, his downfall. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you what, I've gone too far now. I know he exists. Before church, I was just an old sinner boy. That's all I knew how to do. Didn't know I was a prisoner to sin. Now, thank God I've grown out of a whole lot of that. I still have some fuzzy edges, right, Sue? Praise God, but I'm working on it. So with that thought in mind, let's go over to, I want to quote Isaiah 9:6 before we go to where I want to go that will bless you. Praise God. Over in Isaiah, praise God, 9:6. As soon as I get there, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, for unto us a child is born, that is Jesus. And unto us a son is given, that is Christ. Because Christ couldn't be born. He had to be born of a virgin. And so the Christ that is born was Jesus. The son given was Christ. And the governor will be upon his shoulders, as in his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Now with that thought in mind, we'll go over to 1 John. Praise God. And when I saw this, I got excited. In 1 John chapter 3, it says something very powerful here. It says in verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And the word from beginning means that rule that he was anointed cherub over, that he was a covering for. He said he has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Before I gave my heart to the Lord, I was in that sin and I was destroying my life. I got to the point in my walk that I was so addicted to drugs and everything. I said, how much can I take for how long? I was destined for physical death. And thank God that I turned to Jesus in the nick of time. And he rescued me from that death nature that used to rule me. Because he sent Jesus to be my sacrifice. Because he said here, he was manifested that he might undo or unravel the works of darkness in my life. That word to ravel, it means that when I tried to walk, I couldn't walk free because I had the enemy binding me in my walk. I wasn't free. That's why the world is in such agony now, because many people are walking under that nature of death and they don't know how to live with humanity. They don't know how to live with God. That's why we're living in a very dangerous time. We can't even tell whether or not to go to the grocery store without something happening, where somebody might get shot or lives taken out. You know, it's wherever the devil can strike, and he knows his time is very short, or wouldn't have been amplifying the way it is now. Hallelujah! Have you guys noticed that death is everywhere? Hallelujah. But you know what? Even though death is everywhere, God is everywhere. Hallelujah. God is everywhere. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so he says it was the devil who sin from that first rule. But Jesus came and was manifested that he might unravel the works of the devil in my life. Hallelujah. I'm free now. Hallelujah. Because he unraveled my ability to die in the natural. Because now I become a spiritual being in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's why the Apostle Paul had to deal with the Corinthian church. It was very interesting over in 1 Corinthians what Paul had to say about the Corinthians, because the Corinthians didn't believe in a resurrection, because the Corinthian church was mostly made up of rank sinners. They were into every kind of sin you can think of, and the Corinthians knew that sin was so much a part of the body that when Paul began to preach that there was a resurrection of the body, then the Corinthians didn't believe in the resurrection. They said, no, this body isn't going to come back to life. I got rid of it once and I don't want to resurrect it again. And then Paul brings up an argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep or died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. And Paul was talking about the road to Damascus when he was knocked off his cart, I guess. He saw Jesus and he was born. And then he goes on in chapter 13, verse 13 through 26, and explains that if you do not believe there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. And yes, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ has not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one of his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his foot. And then the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Glory to God. Now those who die in Christ now, hallelujah, you're not really dead, because you go to be with the Father, because your spirit and soul remain connected eternally. And the minute you lose the life of this physical flesh, if you're in Christ, you will go to resurrection. That's why he was saying, if you don't believe in resurrection power, then you're men still in sin. Are you following me? Because resurrection means now we have a new life to live while we're still here on earth. It's called resurrection life. That's what we live now. And we have rule over the sin that wants to rule in our life through our natural body. Now we can have our inward man take authority over it, but you have to grow spiritually. Thank God for resurrection power. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about this resurrection power? I'm glad you asked. Hallelujah. Praise God. You smart people, you want to know what resurrection power is. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, very powerful. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. who is the head of all principality and power, rule and authority. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hand by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And you were co-buried with him in baptism, which in which also you were co-raised with him through the faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has co-quickened you with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, wiping out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, nailed it to the cross, and having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in any natural thing. You are a free individual if you are in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. When he left that body, he went right to the region of the damned. And he says, I now have authority over who comes here and who doesn't. Hallelujah. And he went over there into paradise and took them spirits that believed while they were on this planet. And he took them out of there and he emptied paradise. Hallelujah. In the center of the earth. And now they're in heaven with him. Glory to God. You believe in resurrection? Yes, I believe in resurrection power. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Woo! I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I no longer have to live the way I used to. I can choose how I want to live now in the freedom that I have in Jesus. Before I got saved, I could not fathom why anybody would want to be a Christian. You want to know why? Because I loved my darkness more than I did light. And then when through the circumstances of life, I just gave my life to him. And then he kept grace on me and kept pulling me towards the light. And now I come to the light. I don't want anything to do with any more of that darkness. It doesn't have anything to offer me. Hallelujah. You world, you can have your trend. You can go where you want to go. But hallelujah, I have a new life now that I have found in Jesus Christ. It's called resurrection life. I can now live a resurrected life. I'm born again. Hallelujah. I have a new spirit in Christ Jesus. This outward body, when I vacate it, it's going to be, this is my earth suit. It's going to fall to the ground. Ploop. But my soul and spirit are going to be, why? Because if he has resurrected, then I'm going to have a resurrection. In my order and in my time. Whew. Well, what happens if you don't receive Jesus? Bye-bye. You go place of darkness. Is that what God wants? For God so loved the world that he gave us his son, that whosoever, it's up to you. God didn't plan that fall. Lucifer planned it. He corrupted himself. God made him perfect, but he corrupted himself. Don't blame God planning anything called failure. God, it ain't in failure. God is not in failure. He never thinks failure. He thinks perfection. He creates things in perfection. He wouldn't have created him and then used him as a pattern of all things if God had planned a fall. No, he did not plan a fall. Lucifer corrupted his own wisdom and thereby brought on redemption. Thank God he brought it on, and Jesus stepped up to the plate and says, that's all right, God. I'll die for him. We're free. Resurrection power. We're free. We're free. You guys ready for communion? We're free. We're free. Come on, ushers, get up here and get the communion elements. The communion elements, powerful. What are the communion elements? The blood, the shed blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And the bread. Glory to God. He gave it to us so that you and I can partake of it if we want to. Woo. glory to God. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the body of Christ. I was saved through the giving of His physical being. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, I'm having Easter. I don't know about you guys. I'm having an Easter. I'm having an Easter egg fit. Somebody's saying, Easter eggs? That's right. Easter eggs. The first Easter egg story, we got eggs in it, was a sign of fertility. When you're in Christ, you're fertile. Praise God. You'll produce after His kind. Just like Jesus exegesis His Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am what the Father is all about. And God so loves the world that He gave. Well, then why don't more people give their heart to the light? Because they like their darkness more than they do their light. Have you ever gone into some people's garages? They're dangerous. I mean, they have stuff hanging around their garages and stuff. And if you had no light to walk around in their garage, your life was in danger. How do I know that? Oh, I have a garage. And some people like walking around in that darkness. I can't fathom it. I can't fathom wanting to walk around in darkness. I mean, if you want it that bad, poke your eyeballs out. You can walk in darkness as long as you want to. But me, I prefer light. Amen? So God came. And He gave us some light. Woo. I don't have to stumble anymore. And you don't want to stumble in my garage. Some people, you know how intelligent some people are? They are so intelligent. They're like a busted light bulb and a black can of paint during a citywide blowout. That's how brilliant they are. You can't get much darker than that. But thank God, God came and gave me light. Whoo! How did He give me? Resurrection. Resurrection life. Out of the darkness, into the light. Whoo! Thank God for the sacrifice of my Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your body. Praise God. We were saved through the sacrifice of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are ministers that are preaching we were saved through His spiritual death, and that's not true. He was made a life-giving spirit. Jesus finished it on the cross. He gave Himself as the sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God He didn't sin. Hallelujah. He died because of our sin, but He had none of His own. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, John. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, say this with me this Easter morning. Are you guys glad you came? Amen. Praise God. If you've had things in your life that have been tragic and you don't understand them, put it on the shelf and give God a chance to work in your heart this morning. And eventually in time, He'll give you an answer for all things. But wait on Him. And so this morning, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have supper with our Lamb. And the first thing at supper time, He said, take this bread as a symbol of my body for you. Symbolizes Him giving His body for us. And He says, take, eat, for this is the will of my Father. So let's eat the bread that was supplied as His body. What'd you do? Drop His body? Her bread went flinging on the floor. And after the same manner, He took the cup and He said, This is my blood which was shed on behalf of you. God poured his wrath out on his son that he would never pour it out again during the dispensation of grace. So let's take the wine and drink. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful Lord. I'd never go back into that old lifestyle of mine. I'd never go back there ever again. It is nothing but darkness. Nothing but confusion. Nothing. There is no purpose in it. Hallelujah. The only purpose you can get out of natural life is what you accomplish here. But when it's said and done, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you'll be dumped off the end of the conveyor belt of life, and that's it. But I'll tell you what, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. Hallelujah. I want to gain as much that I can to go with me to that place where resurrection is found. Seating of the right hand of my Father. We have a supernatural insight the world doesn't even know exists until we preach it to them. Well, did you all get the communion elements? Did you collect all the... You did that already? Wow, you guys are great. Twenty minutes to noon? Are you guys ready to... Now, what do you got, Mike? No, come here, come here. Well, come here, Mike.
I need a mic, Mike.
Yeah, here, Mike. Come here. I'll be your covering. Turn around. I'm your covering. Go ahead.
You ain't too far behind me, Grasshopper.
Go ahead. Okay. Don't take all day. We've got to get out to that Easter break. Go ahead. Okay. Go for it.
You know, there's that Cuffy and Buffy. You know that, don't you? This morning while the choir was singing, and Lord just put on my heart this Easter poem real quick, okay? And so I'll be quick about it. But... it says, life is a lie without the apple of my Father. Jesus complied to free us from the lie. Satan tried to get us to believe that lie. But I believe the one whom died on that tree, the cross for you and me. His blood set me free. His death caused me to believe. By his spirit, his love, and I am free. Oh, the love of my God rescued me. Oh, Lord, how I believed in Jesus. On that tree, my life, my spirit, I hear his call. I have overcome the fall. Now I'm standing tall with my Lord whom took the fall for us all. Amen, amen, Jesus wins. He took our sin, now life begins. Amen. I let the Lord in my heart, never to be part.
Stand up, everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to be in Jesus on Easter? You know, Easter's our 4th of July. Amen. It's our freedom from that old destructive lifestyle. We're in the Lord, praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, as we now prepare to go our way, Father, we thank you so much for being saved, being brought into you. Easter is a special time, especially for those that are in Christ. If you're here this morning and you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, when we dismiss you, feel free to come up. We will pray with you and lead you into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You'll have to step out and do it by faith at first. Because the first time I gave my heart to the Lord, man, I had so many things in the world go by my mind, my thinking. But I just cast it aside and went forward and said, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I said the sinner's prayer. And I've been gloriously saved ever since. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we dismiss you today, if you want to come up for prayer, for anything, salvation, the infilling of the Spirit, whatever you desire, feel free to come up afterwards. I'll stay right here and wait for you. Hallelujah. So Heavenly Father, as we now get ready to dismiss everybody, may they have a wonderful Easter. And Father, may the things I share today make sense to them. How that you plan for Jesus to come and rescue us from that outlaw that came from eternity past, from that first rule to destroy. And he destroyed his rule, but he would not destroy Adam's. Thank God for Jesus coming and rescuing man. He's the perfect umpire. Put one hand on God and one hand on man and brought the two impossibilities together. Father, we thank you for that. And having said that, you are now dismissed. Have a good Easter day. God bless you.